The New Testament gives three reasons for withdrawing from association with a professing Christian. That's a very serious thing. It's a very serious thing to withdraw from the fellowship or the association of a fellow believer, or at least of a professing fellow believer. I stress the word professing in that connection. But the New Testament does apparently give at least three reasons upon which that should be done. One of those reasons is the subject and the topic of my teaching this evening. A second of those I'm going to mention very briefly in my introduction. And I think that in a moment you will observe why I've chosen in the introduction of the brief teaching to allude to this second reason. Hear the words of Paul as I just read them to you from the 16th chapter of Romans. I beseech you, brethren, mark them who cause divisions. The New American Standard translates that, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions. And then he continues, and avoid them. Or as the New American Standard has it, turn away from them. Then again, the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter, first letter to the church at Corinth, these words, know ye not that you, and he uses the plural personal pronoun, meaning therefore you as a group, you as a church, you as a family, know not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you as a group. If any man defile that temple of God, him shall God destroy. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. As I've commented before on other occasions, in the third chapter of that first letter of Paul's to the church at Corinth, where he is speaking about the temple of God in which dwells the Holy Spirit, at that particular place he is not referring to the individual Christian's body as the temple, but he is there referring to the Corinthians collectively as a group being the temple of the Holy Spirit. The church was the temple of God. And he was giving a warning about Christians who generate or who initiate trouble or division within the fellowship or the family of believers. Now, I mentioned that to you boldly this evening, even though I run the risk perhaps of being misunderstood, and I hope that I can make my motives clear. I mentioned that because at this present time, Metropolitan Church is forced to make some decisions, decisions where some of us will honestly disagree and have different understandings and opinions. And it is right that we should do so. It is right, biblical, and correct that we should express those different understandings and different opinions and disagreements. And it is proper and right that they should be discussed. But in all of that, all of us must be careful how we behave and how we act. Paul said, if any person behaves in such a way, or says things in such a way, or talks in such a way, that it initiates alienation, that it brings schism, that it destroys fellowship, that it inflames emotions, that it separates a group of believers, that if any Christian behaves in that way, that Christian is to be marked out and avoided. Evening that I've said that and I could be misunderstood. I'm saying it to all of us. I'm so glad that there is discussion and disagreement and different points of view, but I sometimes am disturbed when I hear occasionally when people say things that are not intended to be constructive but destructive. When they say things that would bring division or schism or alienation within the fellowship of the believers. And Paul said that the person who behaves in a way that he causes schism, that the person who is one who brings alienation, mark him and have nothing to do with him. And my hope is that in our present time of life as a fellowship, that we can have our times of decision and discussion and disagreement and expression of those disagreements, but that none of us, including myself, or including any of us, will so behave or so talk or so say things that will alienate and hurt and cause division. Paul said, when you see a person who acts like that, mark him off and mark him out and avoid him. It's a very serious thing to destroy the temple of the Holy Spirit. Which temple you as a group are, he wrote in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, a second cause for separation of fellowship and association is that of apostasy. Tonight I want briefly to introduce that subject, though there will not be adequate time, obviously, to study it very thoroughly. But I would suggest that we open our New Testaments to the book of Jude, and I want you to follow silently as I read at the fourth verse of the letter to Jude. Here in this fourth verse of Jude, the author refers to the subject of apostasy. Jude is writing, of course, and as he does so, he introduces in this letter this enormous and important and critical subject of apostasy. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. The word used or translated ordained at this point is not here referring to any kind of predetermination. It is actually a word which simply means that have been declared ahead of time. It has been said in advance of them, marked off concerning them. Certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old declared concerning them, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude is claiming here in this fourth verse that there existed even in his day, and you may, of course, be well aware of the fact that this book was written by him approximately 68 A.D. Even in that early day, in the first century of the Christian church, in that early age, there already existed what Jude called or referred to as apostates. In this fourth verse, he defined them in three ways. First of all, they are those who are inside Christendom. You will notice that he said, behold, there are certain men crept in unawares. An apostate, as this verse indicates, is one who is inside Christendom. He is not one who is outside and attacking, but he is one rather who is within or inside Christendom. That's the first mark that characterizes or that is true of an apostate. The second that Jude mentions here is that he has entered under false pretenses without complete self-disclosure. He has crept in unawares. That means that he has come into the fold, into Christendom, inside the fellowship, without fully disclosing what he is and who he is. He has come inside under false pretenses. And thirdly, the ultimate mark of an apostate is given in this fourth verse as this, that he is a rebel against the personhood of Jesus Christ, denying the only Lord God, even our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to suggest to you that if you at times specific passages of Scripture which declare that Jesus of Nazareth, according to the New Testament, is the Almighty Eternal God, you would remember the last part of verse 4 of Jude. Denying the only Lord God. Who is the only Lord God? Even our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is not one of many gods, as many cults today are declaring. He is not a god. He is the only Lord God and our Lord, even our Lord Jesus Christ. But an apostate is a person who has come inside Christendom. He has come inside Christendom under false pretenses without full disclosure of what he is. And being inside Christendom, he now denies the personhood of our Lord, the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is Jude's description of an apostate. I want this evening, and probably the next 3 or 4 minutes that I shall take, to begin to introduce this subject to you in the rest of the New Testament. And therefore, in order to do that, I ask that we turn first of all to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I am going to begin this evening reading verses 1, 2, and 3 in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Here is where we would begin our study of the subject of apostasy, the great apostasy that is foretold. Paul writes, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of the Lord is present. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of the Lord, shall not come, except there come the falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." We're going to look for just a moment at verses 2 and 3 because in these two verses occurs the Greek word apostasy, referring to a time when there will be those who will apostatize. You will notice that the second verse said, Paul wrote to them that they were not to be upset by any kind of claims, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by any kind of letter, as though it were a letter written by me. Don't be upset by any kind of claims that the day of the Lord has already begun. Now, the day of the Lord begins. He is referring, of course, as you notice in the second verse there, to the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord begins with the tribulation. If you want to try to understand what the Apostle Paul is referring to when he mentions in the second verse that the day of the Lord is present and that they should not be upset by any kind of claim that the day of the Lord has already begun. The day of the Lord includes more than the time of tribulation, but according to the New Testament, the day of the Lord begins with the tribulation, a future time that is described in the New Testament for us. And Paul was saying to them, don't believe any kind of claims that that day of the Lord has already begun. Why? Why should they not believe any such claims that the day of the Lord had begun? Because verse 3 tells us, the reason. When the day of the Lord begins, a shocking development will occur, first of all. Notice this, for that day of the Lord shall not come except there come the falling away first. The words in that third verse, the falling away, are the words in the Greek language, the word in the Greek language that means the apostasy. So that he says the day of the Lord will not begin until the apostasy starts first of all. And in his day, though there were already people who had apostatized, so that Jude could write about those who had already crept inside Christendom under false pretenses, already denying the personhood of Jesus, Paul tells those in Thessalonica, don't believe that the day of the Lord has begun, because the day of the Lord will not begin until there comes, first of all, the falling away, the apostasy. There is going to be, in the future time, what the Scriptures call the apostasy. The apostasy means a falling away. It means a falling away from the faith, the truth. I regret that tonight we will not have the time to go to this evening to the various passages that describe it in detail. But the various passages declare that the time is going to come that within Christendom there will be those who are professing Christians. In fact, not only there will be those, but almost totally, if not totally, Christendom at that time will fall away from the truth of the personhood of Jesus Christ. And that will begin the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is going to begin when Christendom rebels against the truth and falls away from the truth of the personhood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop there this evening. The next Sunday evening I'm teaching, I'll continue. I regret that we can't continue that subject this evening, but it is a theme that we in our church need to understand and to know. And in future sessions, we will continue to study the subject of the apostasy. I'm going to ask that we shall bow our heads together as we conclude in prayer. Our Father, the fact that this is written in the Scriptures is certainly ample evidence that it is to be familiar to us. We're to know about this. We thank you for the words of the apostle who has instructed us about the day of the Lord that shall not begin until first there comes the falling away, the apostatizing from the truth. Grant that we shall be aware of that and able to see any tendencies or trends and all trends in that direction, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.